assembled devotees, guests, visitors to our daily class on the Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is. We have reached chapter 15 today. We are starting with it. Today we'll try to understand text number 1. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Urdhvamulam Adhashakham Ashvattham Prahuravyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "It is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upwards and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas." Purport. It's a long purport, so we'll just read the first paragraph of the purport. It goes into more than 2 pages. After the discussion of the importance of Bhakti Yoga, one may question, what about the Vedas? It is explained in this chapter that the purpose of Vedic study is to understand Krishna. Therefore, one who is in Krishna consciousness, who is engaged in devotional service, already knows the Vedas. The entanglement of this material world is compared here to a banyan tree. For one who is engaged in fruitive activities, there is no end to this banyan tree. He wanders from one branch to another, to another, to another. The tree of this material world has no end, and for one who is attached to this tree, there is no possibility of liberation. The Vedic hymns meant for elevating oneself are called the leaves of this tree. This tree's roots grow upward because they begin from where Brahma is located, that is, the topmost planet of this universe. If one can understand this indestructible tree of illusion, then one can get out of it. And then there are 3 more big paragraphs. If we read them, we won't have time for discussing, so we'll skip them. Anybody who wants to go through these can, you know, go through the purports in your own copy of Bhagavad Gita. Hare Krishna. We have just finished off 14th chapter, started off with 15th chapter. So 4 chapters remaining to complete the whole Bhagavad Gita. And we were discussing in our last class how the last 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita are described as Gyan, comprising of Gyan. The middle 6 chapters are about Bhakti. The first 6 chapters are about activities, karma. So we are in the Gyan phase now, having understood the first 2 sections, that is the karma section and the bhakti section. So one can understand that in these 6 chapters, we are going to get a lot of knowledge. And then when we were discussing a verse from the 14th chapter, we were seeing how the knowledge of this world and the 3 modes of material nature that control this world is also important. Having completed that, Lord Shri Krishna, in today's verse, has started off with description of this material world. He's saying there is a banyan tree. But interestingly, this banyan tree has its roots upwards, grows in the downward direction. So one would wonder, usually the trees that we see around us, they always have their roots downwards and it grows upwards. So where is this tree to be found? We don't have to put much stress on our imagination. If we just have a body of water nearby, we can easily understand that when we observe the reflection of anything in water, any object in water, it turns upside down. Similarly, when we observe the reflection of a tree in water, we would definitely see the roots in the upward direction and the tree growing or expanding in the downward direction. Another thing that Lord Krishna mentions in this verse is, he mentions that this tree is Ashwattha tree. Ashwatha tree is the banyan tree. So this tree is not any ordinary tree. This tree is not a slim coconut tree or a tall tree like the palm tree. But Krishna is not just mentioning tree, he is also describing what type of a tree this is. So this is the Ashwatha tree, the banyan tree. It's interesting. The banyan tree is not only strong and stout, but if one has observed any banyan tree, it also expands in all directions. So here he is just talking about the roots growing upwards and the tree growing downwards. But any one of us who is familiar with a banyan tree knows that it also expands sideways. So we'll just try to see what we can understand from this wonderful example that Krishna has given to us. We have all seen reflections. Yeah. So something that we can understand primarily about reflection is it is temporary. It is definitely not permanent. If there is no water, if there is no liquid on the ground to reflect a tree, we don't see the reflection. Only in the case of a reflection, a reflective substance, a substance that can be capable of reflecting, do we see a reflection. So similarly, when Lord Krishna is talking about this tree here, which we have understood to be a reflection of the original tree, because we don't find a tree like that, like it is being described here, we have to understand there has to be some reflective substance without which this tree cannot exist. So in our discussion today, we'll just try to see these points. In our ordinary dealings, when we talk of a reflective substance, primarily it would be water, because water is generally observed. Pools of water are easily available for us to see a reflection in. For us to be able to see this tree, which is the tree of the material world that is being described here, in the purport, in the next paragraph, Prabhupada explains, what is the reflective substance? The reflective substance is the desire. When we see a reflection, it's dependent on the reflective substance. Similarly, this material world that we are living in, that we are observing, is dependent on the substance called desire. If we do not have a desire to come to this world, to enjoy this material world will not exist. It's like a facility for us to come and enjoy here. There are so many hotels in tourist places. We have many tourist spots in this country. So people go to these tourist places and there are hotels and places of lodging there. If people decide not to go to these places, if people decide that we don't want to go to these places, we just want to stay in our homes, these people will have to close down. It is only because there is a demand that there is a supply. Similarly, only because we have a desire to come here to this material world, that this material world has been created. Sometimes in the course of a discussion with newcomers, this question sometimes comes up. That if this world is a temporary place, if this world is a place of miseries, then God must indeed be a cruel person. For somebody to create a place which is full of miseries, for somebody to create a place where there will be sufferings for us, why would a person do that? It means that Creator is a cruel person. But no, he is not a cruel person. It is us who have demanded it in the form of our desires. We have appealed to the Lord. We have besieged the Lord. I want a place separate from you. I want a place where you do not exist. I do not want to stay in my home, which you have so wonderfully designed in the spiritual world. So he says, all right, there's another place for you. But mind you, things will be difficult there. But we say, yes, it's all right with us. So one thing that we can understand is the existence of the material world, the existence of a place where there are miseries, which is based on suffering, is not a sign, if you analyze it properly, is not a sign of the Lord's hatred towards us or the Lord's cruel heart, but it's a sign of his love towards us, that he is giving us an opportunity. All right, if you want it this way, take it this way, but my recommendation is, don't do it this way. My recommendation is, you stay with me in my home. So that is one thing that we can learn from this example. Now, about this tree, if somebody wants to just check out, just imagine there is a huge banyan tree that you are observing. You go to your native place maybe or somewhere here in the city itself, there's a big banyan tree and you decide to check it out. It will take a lot of time to check it out. If it's another tree, like a palm tree, coconut tree, maybe a mango tree, there are many kinds of trees that we see. They are thin, the trunk is not very broad, not very strong, stout. You can easily climb them. And there are a few branches here and there, few flowers here and there. Sometimes there are fruits. So in some time, it will get over. But if you want to check out a banyan tree, you'll never see a thin banyan tree. You'll never see a small banyan tree. Unless you artificially do it with bonsai or something. But usually a banyan tree means it's a huge tree with branches extending in all directions. Another thing is, if you have observed a banyan tree, many times the branches, they give off certain structures and they hang upside down. Many times these structures, they touch the ground and they form roots there. So banyan tree is also very entangling. A banyan tree, it may start off with a single trunk and with some branches, but those branches themselves can give off extensions that come down. Yeah, you have seen a banyan tree. It has many loose structures that come out. And when they touch the ground, they form another trunk. It gives rise to another tree. And that's how a banyan tree expands. In the Calcutta Botanical Gardens, there is a tree, banyan tree, which is said to be 500 years old. So just imagine 500 years old tree. How many times have we seen other trees which are that old? Very rare. There are sequoia trees in the US, but they are far away from us. And they are also, you know, it's like a big trunk, grows tall, but it's not widespread like a banyan tree. It's huge, but it grows tall. And there are a few branches up. The roof is very small one. But the banyan tree is special. Banyan tree expands also. So the reason why Krishna is explaining that this tree that he's explaining, the material world is like a banyan tree, is if you decide to explore this banyan tree, it's going to take a lot of time. If you decide to check out each and every small part of the banyan tree, it's going to take a lot of time. Usually these trees, because they are strong, because they are thickly covered, they also have nests of birds in them. Usually if you go to a banyan tree, you will definitely hear chirping of the birds. Some or the other birds will definitely have their nest there. Similarly, sometimes in our wanderings in this material world, we'll find some people who are firmly convinced that this is the place for me, this is where I'm going to stay, this is my shelter. Just like a bird is firmly convinced that this tree is my final shelter. It rises in the morning, it goes here and there for its searching for food, and in the evening it comes back thinking, this is my home. But if we understand this present example that Lord Krishna is giving us, then we'll understand this material world is just like a reflection. Urdhva Mulam Adhashakam Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki. Then we'll understand it's not so easy to stay here. How many of us can stay in the reflection? We can't stay in the reflection. Reflection is temporary. There's a story that I'm reminded of. Once in a kingdom, the queen had a very beautiful necklace, precious necklace. And due to some negligence, one day she kept it beside a window. A crow came, a bird came, picked up that necklace since it was shimmering, it was shining, and flew off with it. So the queen saw that her precious necklace is being carried away by a bird. She saw that, but she could not do anything about it. So after a while, when the bird had gone by, she gathered some servants and put up a notice that I have lost my most precious and most dear necklace. So if somebody finds this necklace, I'll give him a reward. So word spread around the kingdom that there is a necklace that's missing and it belongs to the queen. If it goes to the queen, you get a huge reward, like that. Interestingly, when one person was passing by, he found that necklace. He found that there was a tree, and in that tree, he found that necklace. Yeah? So he said, this is my reward. This is my chance to become rich. In those days, they would not think of keeping the necklace. They would think of giving it back to the queen and then getting a reward from the queen. Honest times. So what he did, He tried to jump and get that necklace. Somehow, whenever he jumped, he could not get the necklace. And more interestingly, there was a splash that he heard. So now it's clear, you know, he was observing the reflection. He was always used to looking down. This person, he would never look up. He's always looking down. So when I mentioned that he saw the necklace, actually he had seen the necklace, he had observed the necklace in a reflection of the tree in the pond, in a body of water. The crow, the bird, had flown off with the necklace. And where do birds go? They go on top of trees. And a necklace is not eatable. You can't eat the necklace. So for a bird, it's of no use. So he just dropped it there on the tree and flew off. And he had observed the reflection of that necklace in a tree, in the reflection of the tree on the surface of water. So he was trying very hard. He was trying different ways. He tried jumping. It was not working out. He tried with a stick also. He took a stick and tried to get it. Tried to get the necklace from what he was seeing as the tree and as the necklace. It was not working out. He was getting more and more frustrated. But there it was. He could see it. As soon as his attempt was understood to be futile, he would jump. He would try to get it. But he could not get it. So he thought, maybe it's not there. But then he would see it. It was there, right there in front of him. So again, you know, that causes more misery. We have that story of the fox who was trying to get grapes. So he was seeing those grapes and he was trying to catch it, but he was not getting. So ultimately he said, the grapes are sour. They are not good. It troubles you more when things are available and you can't get them. So similarly, this person was also trying, not getting them. Finally, a sage came by. A saintly person came by and he appealed to the sage, would you just help me, because it seems the sages are wise men. She said, what's your problem? So he told him the whole story. The sage said, my dear friend, is it possible that this is a reflection only? This is false? But he says, I am seeing it. It's there in front of me. All right. Just because I am telling you, just as an experiment, would you mind looking up? So all right, I am not going to lose anything. I might as well look up. And he looked up, and there and behold, he saw the necklace. And then he understood the whole game. Everything became clear to him in a matter of seconds, just by that one instruction of the sage. He understood. He had been trying uselessly. He was trying very hard, but it was of no avail. Similarly, all of us are also trying to get something of value, something that will supposedly give us happiness in this world. But ultimately, we have to understand that this world is like a reflection. And no matter how real things seem in the material world, in a reflection, they are a reflection. They'll give us reflective happiness. They'll never give us real happiness. For real happiness, we have to get real things. So yes, sometimes we see people who have a smile on their face, who seem to be happy. But how long? The waves of miseries wash their happiness away. So when we want to get the real thing, we always have to look up. We always have to try to see that yes, things appear to be in a certain way to my limited intelligence. But is there a possibility that there is something beyond what appears to my eye? For this thief, it was there in front of him, but then it was not there. Similarly, the material world appears to be of reality, but then it is not real. There are many things that do not appear to the eye. Sometimes if you observe, the reflection is more attractive than the real thing. Sometimes if you are walking by and you see the sun on the surface of water, it shimmers, it shines. And many times you can't look directly at the sun. Mid-noon, try looking at the sun. Your eyes will get hurt. But you can easily look at the reflection. It's a very attractive also. Similarly, sometimes when we try to practice spiritual life, when we try to go for the real thing, it's very difficult for us. Directly going for the real thing would be difficult for us. Yet, fact is that that is the real thing and that is what is creating the reflection. If the original object is not there, if the original tree is not there, if the original sun is not there, you won't see a reflection in the object that is reflecting it. When you have a mirror, The mirror reflects light and you see yourself in the mirror. If the light is not there, if a source of light is not there, you won't see yourself even. So everything is dependent on that original source of light. It's not dependent on the reflecting substance. If we are exposed to God, if we are exposed to knowledge about God, we can see God also clearly and we can see ourselves also very clearly. We can see this world clearly. That is the advantage. Another thing that here, the second line mentions, Chandamsi yasya parnani. So he says, the Vedic hymns are the leaves of this tree. Imagine a banyan tree without leaves. How will it look? Just the branches and just the huge trunk and those structures that we were talking of going by. Tree becomes attractive because of the leaves, is it not? A barren tree is of no use. A tree without leaves it does not attract us. A tree becomes attractive only when there are green, lush leaves. Similarly, a banyan tree also. So here, why does Krishna mention that Chandamsi yasya parnani, that the leaves of this tree are the Vedic hymns? Vedic hymns are very attractive. Most of the scriptural knowledge that we have will tell you how to perform such and such sacrifice, how to get elevated to the heavenly planets, how to make life on this planet more comfortable, how to get wealth, how to get success in life. Today's self-help books that you get outside, they are all this. 1 minute manager, how to do this in 21 days, how to become a good man. They are all talking about life here, is it not? But it's all in the reflection. So they are not wrong. Only thing is, because it is temporary, we are like that thief. We are like this person who was trying to get that necklace. We'll try very hard. We'll spend many efforts. But nothing in our hand, nothing of any substance will come to us. So this Vedic scriptures also, most of it is said, is Karmakand. Karmakand means that section of the Vedas, which tells you, you do this karma and you get this in as a reaction of that. In return, you get this thing. But if we get stuck up in this thing, it is like wandering in the different areas of this banyan tree. Ultimately, the material world is also within this material universe. It is not beyond this world. You may be on the top part of the reflection, or you may be on the lower part of the reflection. It does not matter, because ultimately it's a reflection. But these Vedic hymns are very attractive. When we talk to people and tell them that real thing is not to gain success or accumulate riches, accumulate temporary things that will make us happy in this world. Real thing is to get out of this world. That is the real aim of life. Sometimes we get negative reactions. You know, they say, oh, you are all pessimistic. You are always talking pessimistically about this world. And in one sense, it's true. If you observe from one point of view, a limited point of view, it appears pessimistic. Here we are in this world, so why do we always criticize this world? It's not just criticism. There's another bright side to it. The presentation that is there in the Vedic scriptures is not only telling you how to become comfortable about this world, it also tells you how to go beyond this world. However, most of the people will always be interested in temporary things. Short-sighted as they are, as this person was, who was trying to get the necklace from the reflection. So most of the Vedic scriptures, in fact, in trying to keep the people with them, give them these injunctions. But in the second chapter of the Gita, Lord Shri Krishna, he tells Arjun this. He says, Ya imam pushpitam vacham. He says, men of small intelligence are attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. Now Krishna is the person who created the Vedas. Krishna is the source of all knowledge. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. So he himself has given us this knowledge. But what is his personal opinion about that same knowledge that he has given us? He says, only men of small intelligence get attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. What is flowery words? Flowery words means sweet smelling words, which tell us how to enjoy this world. And what is his advice? What is his personal advice to Arjuna? He says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. He says, O Arjuna, these scriptures that are there, they mostly deal with the three gunas. Three guna, Vishaya, Veda. The Vedas deal with three gunas. So they will tell you how to elevate from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, from the mode of passion to the mode of goodness. Sometimes you fall from the mode of goodness to the mode of ignorance, so what to do? All this knowledge is there. But my advice is, Krishna says, he says, Nistrai Gunyo Bhavarjuna. You go beyond the modes. Although I have given so much knowledge about how to elevate yourself within these three modes, how to elevate from poverty to richness, how to elevate from ignorance to knowledge, he says, the real thing is to go beyond this world. Nistrai Gunyo Bhavarjuna. Go to a place where these three modes don't exist. So in continuation to that, Krishna is again taking up that theme. Saying, my dear Arjun, you observe this reflection, but don't get attracted to this reflection. Chandamsi yasya parnani. Yastu veda sa vedavit. If you know this, yastu veda. If you know this, vedavit. That person is in knowledge. So all that you have known before, in one sense, is not knowledge. Knowledge about this world is not knowledge as per the Lord Krishna. He is saying, you have to know, you have to understand how there is a tree. The real tree is with its roots down and it grows up, which is the spiritual world. And this material world is only a reflection of that spiritual world. We were discussing how you cannot have a reflection unless there is an original object. If you see a fake note outside, you know, sometimes in newspapers we see circulars by the Reserve Bank of India. They say there are some fake notes being circulated. Please be aware of that. So if somebody gets a fake note, he should understand if fake notes are being printed, there's so much risk involved in that. It means the real note is of great value. If the real note is not of value, why would I risk myself? Why would I take so much endeavors? Why would I take so much pains to print a fake note? So a fake note, indirectly, it explains to us or it proves to us the importance of the real note. So if this material world, this temporary reflection is so attractive, there is so much to do here, there is so much to learn here, how much real and how much worthy of our study, how much worthy of our endeavors is the real spiritual world. And reflection is exactly as per the original object. Whatever you see in the original object, you will definitely observe in the reflection. So here we are, and we are observing different relationships between people. There are relationships in the mood of a friend. There are relationships in the mood of a parent. There are relationships in the mood of a conjugal relationships. Sometimes there are relationships just out of admiration. There's no activity, but just one person admires another person. So I like him. I get inspiration from this person. So if we observe these kind of relationships in the material world, and if material world is a reflection, and the next thing that we can derive out of this analogy is, all these relationships should exist in the real world. If you see a reflection of a tree and you see some fruits in the reflection, it means those fruits have to exist in the real tree. The reflection cannot have something of its own only, which is not there in the real substance. So people who think that relationships in this world, they are not very fruitful. Ultimately, whenever I tried to establish a relationship, I was not very happy with it. It led to dissatisfaction. Because everything is opposite in the reflection, one can understand that relationships, real relationships in the spiritual world will be hope-giving, will never leave us dissatisfied. They will be full of joy, we'll be fulfilled, basically. We'll feel fulfilled with those relationships. Here, we get satisfaction, but there is no fulfillment of that satisfaction. When we get a new friend, people are looking for friends all over. They could not find friends in the real world. They are on the internet trying friends. Many websites, social networking sites. People are trying to, you know, develop new friendships. Facebook, there's so many websites like that. It means there is a strong urge in people to connect to people, to connect to friends. They have so many friends already. All of us, when we grew up, when we went to a school, when we went to a college, we had people around us, we had friends. But we are so much dissatisfied with these relationships that now, you know, we don't want to work on existing friends. Because we have seen it's not working out. When those friends were new, when the relationships were new, it was good. And if somebody tries to, you know, say that, no, for me it's working out, it could be working out for very few people. Otherwise, you would not have such a huge number of these websites where so many people are going. Just some days back, one student was telling me that the Indian IT companies are complaining that many of their employees, during the day when they are supposed to work, they are actually on the internet, you know, visiting these sites. They are trying to find out some people of the common interest. Like somebody is interested in astronomy. So he searches on that website. Is there anybody in India, in Bombay, who is also interested in astronomy? And they try to link up. But what about so many people that you already know? It didn't work out. That's why you are searching for new friends. That's why you are trying. We forget, it has not worked for our friends 10 years back. It has not worked for our friends 15 years back. It has not worked for our friends 5 years back. And we are so hopeful that it will work for our friends that we'll find on the internet, whom we don't even know, whom we don't even see. So there's always this illusion that I will get good friendship now. I have not found it till now. Tomorrow is the big day. Tomorrow I'm going to get a real friend. It means we are trying for real friendship. We are trying for real relationships. We are not getting fulfillment. It's only when we think about the real world, the spiritual world, will we get fulfillment in relationships. So relationships are here also, but because everything is reflection, everything is temporary, the relationships will not give you permanent fulfillment, will not give you permanent satisfaction. But in the spiritual world, the place is real, the people are real, so you get permanent and real relationships, and they give satisfaction. That is what will actually help us. Now, why does Lord Krishna, one thing that I was thinking was, why does Lord Krishna take up these 6 chapters as Gyan? He is given karma before the first 6 chapters, the middle 6 chapters is bhakti, and the last 6 chapters is Gyan. So he is given as the best thing in between. But then again, after giving you the best thing, he is now talking about this world. In the 14th chapter, he talked about the 3 modes. In the 15th chapter, he is talking about the Ashwatha, the tree of this material world. So for a new person who does not understand what is what, it could seem as a diversion. That, you know, you gave me the real thing. You gave me knowledge about the spiritual world. Now you are again giving me knowledge about the material world. But why? So one way to understand this is, devotional service, spiritual life, can be said to be of 2 components. One component is detachment from what we are already doing, detachment from our proclivities, from our tendencies to enjoy matter in this world. And the second thing, which is higher than that, is attachment to Krishna, attachment to spiritual life. You cannot do only one of these 2. Well, you could, somebody could say, I will only do, you know, attachment to Krishna. I will only develop my life in the spiritual. I'll not even endeavor to get detached from matter. Something like, I'm rowing hard on a boat, but my anchor is still there. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the Guru Maharaj of our founder Acharya, he gave a story like this. There was a bridegroom party which was supposed to reach a certain place in the morning. They got into a boat, because in Bengal they travel by boats. The Ganges is everywhere. They don't travel by road much. So they got into a boat, and throughout the night they were rowing the boats, and they could not see much because it's night time. In the morning they found out they did not leave from the place from where they left off in the night. Why? Because the boatman discovered the anchor was still there. He forgot to lift up the anchor. So whole night he's sweating. He worked very hard, but the boat did not move an inch. So that's why it's important for us to simultaneously work, detaching ourselves from the material conceptions that we are engulfed in, we are immersed in, and also simultaneously trying to understand and trying to attach ourselves to the real substance, that is Krishna, real spiritual life. Of these, certainly the higher one, the more important one, is attachment to Krishna. Certainly, there's no doubt about it. It's not detachment from matter. So that's why, after having given information about himself in the middle six chapters, devotional service, 10th chapter, 11th chapter, 12th chapter, he's given knowledge to us about how to get attached to him, what are his characteristics. 10th chapter, Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita. But after that, now he's telling us, now that you have known me, now that you know me, now that you have developed some attachment for me, I also want to help you getting detached from this world. He's not leaving his job halfway. He always gives a complete solution. Thing is, we have to have patience to go through it all. Sometimes we may get impatient. People ask, oh, I have been chanting for 6 months now. I am still not developing attention. I am not still getting attracted to the holy name. You have patience. If you stop at the 12th chapter thinking that the acharyas have described the middle six chapters are bhakti, so I stop here, bhakti I have got. No, the last six chapters. Krishna considers this knowledge important. That's why he gave to us. Why would Krishna speak something which is not of any consequence to us? But he has spoken it. He has given us the knowledge about the three modes. He has given to us information about this material world. He is explaining how this material world is just like a reflection. It means it is important for us. So although it seems to be mundane knowledge, but no, it's not mundane because it will help us get attracted to Krishna. That's why it's important. And one thing that I was just thinking, I read it in one book. Prabhupada tells this. Just to understand this, we talked a lot about philosophy, but something, you know, to carry home. Prabhupada says, just imagine if somebody holds you upside down. Try thinking this, try imagining this. Somebody holds your feet, you know, catches you upside down. How will it feel? Very uncomfortable, is it not? So Prabhupada explains in that place, that is how this material world is. Because it's a reflection, it's upside down. Urdhva mulam adha shakham. So that is our state. And that's why all of us are feeling uncomfortable here. We're trying so many things to become comfortable, but we are not. Why? It's something like, you know, somebody holds you upside down and you think, first thing is, before I do anything else, first you keep me, let me stand on my feet in my normal position. So before doing anything else in our lives, before doing other endeavors in our lives, we should first try to become Krishna conscious. That is our highest priority. Yes, we maintain all our duties, we do our jobs. If we are students, we continue studying. That's all there, already included. But we should give priority to also advance step by step, slowly but surely, towards Krishna. And that would be slowly coming back to our original state. From the reflection to the real tree. From upside down to actually standing on our feet as we are supposed to. Yeah. So I'll stop here. If somebody has any questions, comments, then we can take some questions and comments. We have 5 minutes for that. The question by this devotee is, ultimately we are here in the material world and we are doing many activities which are, as a consequence of that, material activities. So how do we practically do spiritual activities? Whatever you are doing, connect it to Krishna. Seems very simple. And not simple, simplistic. I wanted some good solution, you know, this is very easy. Connect it to, believe me, it's not so simple. Try remembering Krishna when you are studying, if you are a student. Try remembering Krishna when you are working. Initially, it's very difficult. When you get used to it, it becomes easy. If you go to the ocean, there's an ocean nearby. When you try going there and swimming will give you joy. Swimming will give you happiness. But in order to get that happiness, you have to first cross the initial stage when waves hit you back. Yeah? You are trying to enter the ocean, but they hit you back. So the first part is a lot of struggle. But once you cross the first initial part where the waves are coming in the opposite direction and you are trying to go inside, deeper and deeper, then inside there are no waves. Inside it's all, you know, cool and calm ocean, and you can just enjoy yourself nicely there. Similarly, in the initial part of spiritual life, lot of resistance. You know it's good. You know you are going to enjoy in spiritual life. You know that is the real thing. It's not the reflection. But as you try to go ahead, the waves keep hitting you back. So initially there is a lot of struggle. But that is the solution. If you think, I want to enjoy swimming in the ocean, in the sea, and these waves are pushing me back, what to do? You know, they are very strong. I'll just stay here. I'll forego this enjoyment. That's not intelligence. If you practice a little bit, if you take tips from fellow swimmers a little bit, okay, you can penetrate all those waves, go inside where there are no waves that will push you here. Yeah, you can nicely surf there, nicely enjoy there. Similarly, when we come to spiritual life, initially there's a lot of struggle. And one struggle is trying to connect our existing activities to Krishna. Easier said than done. But if you take advice, and one good thing is, you can take advice from the books that we have. So sometimes we may not have people around us who can help us in day-to-day matters. If they are, it's much better. Because they will tell you from the books, yet they will tell you how to apply it in your situation. But if there are no people around you who can help you with practical day-to-day matters, try reading books. Try reading Bhagavad Gita. Many devotees have told me they were stuck up with something and they just opened a random page from the Gita and there it was. Their solution was there. So many times these books have reciprocated also, just as a living person does. Does that help? Connecting to Krishna. Remember this principle. Another principle that you could think of in your struggles of slowly becoming practically spiritual than material, from material, is our Acharya gives this principle. He says, Anukulyasa sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam. He says, whatever is favorable, suppose you are thinking now, you want to become Krishna conscious, you want to become spiritual, and you are used to doing something. So now, what is the parameter that you will apply there? Think, is it favorable to Krishna consciousness? Will this activity help me remember Krishna? If it does, do it. If it is going to take you away from Krishna, if it is going to take you away from God, you're going to forget God, then try and to let go of it. Anukulyasa sankalpo, do a sankalpo of something that is anukul, and pratikulyasa varjanam, give it up. If it does not help you. So whatever we are doing, if you want to actually become more and more spiritual, more and more conscious of the presence of Krishna in your life, try applying this principle. I am doing this and this thing. By doing this, am I reminded of Krishna? No? Okay. Is there any way of remembering Krishna in the future by some way? Can I connect this activity to God? I am a student. All the studies that I am doing, can I offer it to Krishna? Is there any way to offer my studies to Krishna? By doing these studies, I'll get good marks. I'll get into a good job. Can I offer it to Krishna in that way? Is it anukul for my bhakti? Yes. Okay, so I'll do it. No, it's not possible. It's too much for me. So you may have to lessen it and then slowly give it up. Does this help? Yeah? You can apply this principle. The general principle, but it can help you in many different ways. Yeah? If it's anukul, we accept it. If it's pratikul, we don't accept it. Anybody else? Oh, yeah. Yes. Yes. It comes in the coming verses. It comes in the next few verses. I did not want to snatch it away from the future speakers. But he explains. Do you come regularly here? Do you come every day? So tomorrow I can show you a picture. There's a picture of this, that the upper half is a tree standing upright with its roots downwards and the tree upwards. And that's the spiritual world. And whatever exists in the spiritual world exists in the material world, and that's why you see a reflection down like that. So sometimes when I was talking about that, yes? Yes. So that will come in the coming verses, yeah? Tomorrow somebody else will explain that. I'm scheduled only for today. But in this chapter, in a few more verses, that description comes. But he gives you the reflection. So then you will ask him, you know, then what is the real thing? So it creates some curiosity in you. And then he gives you the information about the spiritual world. Yeah? All right? So we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.